نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اللهم قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد عادل الجود والكرم اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعليه الفضل والبر اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعليه الفضل والبر اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وآله وصحبه وبارك وسلم أما بعد رشي پڑھنے
Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, we are grateful to Allah. With His grace, with His blessings, this night of Friday, night of Jummah, and the final days of Dhul Qadah, in the last night of Jummah, this blessed month, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us His extreme grace, His mercy. Allah has turned our hearts towards Him, and towards a special deed. Allah Ta'ala has gathered us, collected us, assembled us towards His remembrance, towards His dhikr. And this is His massive favor on us, His generosity. That's such a great action for which this dunya, the dunya today is negligent, lazy, ignorant from the dhikr of Allah. And this is the sign from one of the signs of Qiyamah, Judgment Day, that the human beings, with regards to the friends of the remembrance of Allah, they will replace that with many other actions, many other occupancies. But the dhikr of Allah, they will run away from it. They will have forgotten it. Allah's mercy and the du'as of our pious predecessors, that Allah Ta'ala has given us the tawfiq, ability, that we are totally incapable, sinful, weak, despite all these traits. The company of the friends of Allah, due to that great effect, we have gained this honor by Allah, from Allah, to sit here. Otherwise, such a great gathering, and us, where are we? I speak about myself, such a useless person, that I say Allah's name. How can I say Allah's name? Anyhow, right now we are in this world of tests, challenges. When the result will come out in the hereafter, we will realize that Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, he wrote in his kitab, that not today but tomorrow, the Day of Judgment, we'll realize the people of the Khanqas, what did they loot and take from this wealth? What did they gain? Anyhow, this result will come out in the hereafter. And milk and water will be separated. Anyhow, Alhamdulillah, we are grateful to Allah that with belief, with certainty, with steadfastness, with regularity, we do dua to Allah, that until death, Allah keep us attached to your dhikr, to your remembrance. Nur ala nur, light beyond light is this, that on this night tonight, Allah has also given us another great gift, treasure. He has given to us, He's given us the ability that Dhul-Hijjah, the days of Dhul Hijjah very soon will be upon us. The great month of Dhul Hijjah, the days of Hajj are running, but the special days, the 10 days in the beginning of Dhul Hijjah, that will start in a few days' time. So we realize that those days are going to come and we gather together. But subhanAllah, I say that this is a great opportunity that some days before Allah has gathered us so that we, after getting together, Allah has given us the ability, tawfiq, that we can discuss and think about those days that are about to come upon us. And those days, the importance, the greatness, we realize that, so that such great days, we do not waste them. Because we're human beings, we're lazy, negligent, ignorant, we forget, the importance comes out from our heart. But these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah that will come, the first 10 days are very great days, very valuable days. So great these days of Dhul Hijjah, the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, Allah Ta'ala has sworn by these 10 days in the Qur'an al-Hakim, the Noble Qur'an. These 10 days. The Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated that these first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah that will come soon, they are so great, so important, so big in magnitude that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these days, in the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, the good deeds of a human being, Allah ta'ala likes that more than all of the other days of the year. Think yourself now how great these days are. That in the year we have such great days. And if you put all those days to one side, and these first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah put to one side, Allah says that these 10 days, that your salah on these 10 days are like most. And that your recitation of the Quran is most beloved to me in these 10 days. Your tasbih and remembering me is most beloved to me in these 10 days. And your sadaqah and giving charity is more preferable to me. Your good deeds in those 10 days more preferable to me. Put all the rest of the year to one side. And these 10 days, the amal, the deeds, Allah Ta'ala doesn't just accept them. Allah says they are very dear and beloved to me, those actions. Big difference here. One is acceptance, one is beloved and dear to Allah. So obviously, if there's acceptance and they're beloved to Allah, then there'll be a difference in the hereafter, isn't it? Will they be the same? Obviously, the beloved and dear will go to one side, and whatever is accepted is on his own status. But in these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, we are grateful to Allah. As I'm requesting for myself, mashallah, you are pious people, I forget. So I forget what are the good days, what are not the good days, what are the better days. So for my strength of iman, I'm speaking that alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala to us, in these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah that are about to arrive, that we can't fulfill the rights of those 10 days. But as much as possible, we have the strength, ability, these 10 days, we should try our best to attain the benefit. And how should we do that? Through good deeds, through righteous deeds, through amal. Then these 10 days, the actions will do, not will they just be accepted, but they will have the rank of being dear and beloved to Allah. The faraid and the nafl, optional actions, both ibadah. So what do we need to do? What should we do? Don't just listen. We must plan a schedule. Then these 10 days, we're not going to let them go to waste. And to plan, the first thing to when you plan, then you must have an intention to change. Whenever you have a plan, then first you need to change something beforehand. Now I will change this thing. If you're changing house, okay, I'll change my address, or change, move the furniture, put this here, put this chair here, put this table here, put this here. So you're changing from place to place. This is what I'm saying. So today, what is the change we're making? Is that these new 10 days that will come, to spend them properly, that what a great and excellent way, a nice way, will I pass these 10 days so I don't waste my time, according to my ability. Inshallah. So when the human being makes an intention like this and he tries, makes an effort, then Allah's mercy comes to him immediately. As soon as he makes an niyyah that today, yaar, I'm not going to leave Fajr Salah, I'm definitely going to go. That's it. When this point comes into his heart, then he has succeeded. I'm not going to leave this action. Just if this point comes, that the pain in the heart comes and he wakes up in the heart, yeah, that's enough. I've had enough of my life before today. I'm not going to leave Fajr, Salah, and Jama'at. Then see how useful that becomes. Then Allah's mercy will take that person to the next stage. But it's sad to say, then our hearts, this injection, electricity, current doesn't run. If this injection was to come, this sigh, deep sigh, which Allah promises. Allah promises that you come to me one footstep, Allah says, I run to you. You come one handspan, Allah says, I come to you an arm's length. Allah says, you walk to me, I come running to you. But this sigh doesn't come. If a true honest heart breathes that deep sigh, Allah says, that's enough. Allah, I'm lacking. Allah, I say, no, I'm not going to do this. I can't do this. But if I say, that's it, I've had enough. Allah, end of story. I'm going to change now. That you just throw it into the court of Allah. Allah, you know best. Allah, I've raised my hands. I need your help. I need your assistance. Allah, then if Allah instills that passion and determination in the heart, that's very useful. So in the preparation for Dhul Hijjah, the most important thing is that from our hearts, we have to first say, step one thing, that Allah, we are ready, that these 10 days and nights, the days are great and the nights are great as well. It's not just the days. Yes, all the time is great. And the rest of the year, these 10 days and nights will not come. The Holy Prophet said that these are the best. So what 10 days are these? Yeah, we think there's nothing. You can count them. 10 days are nothing. And imagine the status, the benefits of God. What do we need to do? Just change our routine a little bit in these 10 days. Little bit of our routine of life. And we must become alert. The most important thing for a human being is this, is that when you initiate an action, if you go to work in the day, then the most important thing is what? Is tawbah, repentance, in deen. The yar, first I need to clean myself, reset button. What's Jummah? Jummah, when we come to pray Jummah Salah, then the first thing, what's the change we make? It's a great day, isn't it? Sayyidul Ayyam, the greatest day of the week, because all the sins are falling off the body. This is how the sins fall off on every action. You're cleaning, you're changing your clothes, you're washing, your sins are falling off in Jummah, Friday, normally. So you get a, you have a bath, you get clean and pure, come to the masjid, put new clothes on, clean clothes on. So when Allah Ta'ala, when we go, move towards Allah, first I should say, Allah, I want to purify myself, make myself light, do ghusl. So that all my previous errors, mistakes and sins, I need to wipe them away so that I can start a new lease of life. Say subhanAllah. Always remember this point. So Allah Ta'ala has given us a beautiful ghusl to have a bath, to clean ourselves. Allah Ta'ala says that you will use such a strong soap detergent that no dirt or impurity or sin will remain on you. Not a particle of sin will remain on you. SubhanAllah. So, because when a person sins, then it will take us towards hell. Apart from the fire of hell, nothing else can clean the sins. Allah says, I will wash you in such a way that you won't even realize that you sin before them. What's that? Tawbah, repentance will clean us. Purify. So tawbah is a great action. Tawbah is such a fantastic action that the human being, that all the sins to the veins, to the roots of his body that he's been doing from decades, Allah wipes them away. Allah presses such a delete button. When you do tawbah, it's such a delete. You know the delete button on the keyboard? When you do tawbah and repent, Allah presses the delete button so much that all the sins, because it's not just on the land. Before, in the olden days, people used to sin, but now we sin even in the skies. 50,000 feet above the land when we're in the aeroplane, someone's drinking alcohol, sinning, all the sins under the sun, watching the scenes and the things in the planes. And we're making the wind and the clouds the witness. We do sins on the land and the skies. Allah says, I'll wipe all those sins away. This is tawbatun nasu, sincere repentance. So this repentance, when a person does this, then three things come into a person immediately when he repents. Number one is that he has a regret. That, Ya Rab, I've done lots of sins. I was mad. I was stupid. What was my situation, my condition? Look at the action I did. I used to leave salah, wasteful talk, and I used to sit on my phone on the screen looking at naked pictures, wasting my life. Allah, I've had enough. I'm very sorry for my past life. This is regret, remorse. Alongside that, the second passion you should have is that Allah, inshallah, from now I'm going to leave these sins. I won't go back to them. Totally don't be scared of leaving the sins. Don't say, oh yaar, what will happen tomorrow? I'm going to sin again. Don't worry about the future. Don't worry about the future. When you're making promise to Allah, Allah says, don't you worry, you keep on promising, I will make your promises come to life. You keep promising, Allah says. So Allah, I stop this now, I'm not going to watch my phone anymore, the screen, whatever sins we do, with the evil eye, using the eyes wrongly, lying, doing wrong. Okay? So the third thing you do when you do tawbah, so first was regret, make a promise, and say, I identify this sin, and in future I won't do it, just like you regret. So you say, Allah, I identify this sin, I regret, I leave it now, and in the future I won't repeat this sin again. Allah, I won't go towards this, whatever happens. So these three things, when you take these steps, this is called tawbatan nasuha. Yes, this is sealed tawbah, solid tawbah, proper repentance. Whether it happens in the future or not, I don't care. I've done these three actions right now, here and now. Because these 10 days and nights are going to come. The first thing we need to do is what? Tawbah, repent. Before Dhul Hijjah starts. And tawbah ta nasu, the Quran has told us that our whole, that if you want to make it stronger, then go and take the hand of a wali Allah, a sheikh, a teacher. That's the best way to do tawbah. I haven't made this, this is in Surah Mumtahin. Allah has told us that, O my Nabi, I will send the believing men, women to you and enable them to repent. Allah is saying this in the Quran, that the believing women at that time, where did they go? The mu'minat, O Allah. Allah says, O my Nabi, the believing women will come to you. Not disbelievers. Because they will sin, they'll make mistakes, they'll make errors. So my Nabi, that they will come to you to do tawbah al-nasu, and tawbah al-nasu will be taking place in your hand. So give them the bayah. Yubayunuka. And then, how do you take their bayah? That take some promises from them, that you'll pray salah, you won't sin, you won't lie, you won't murder. The sheikh is taking the promise from, who was the sheikh at that time? The Holy Prophet ﷺ. He was the sheikh of the Sahaba. But the Prophet ﷺ has passed away now. So who is doing the work of the prophets? Their assistant, their deputies, their followers, they are called the mashaykh, the honorable sheikhs. So Allah Ta'ala, He addresses the Shaykh, "Oh Shaykh, I've prepared this person for you, this human being. He's coming to you and I've softened his heart. Take him, guide him and enable him to do tawbatan nasuh, the sincere tawbah." This is the method of the Quran. So this is a proper seal when a person does this action. Allah Ta'ala says that, this is the verse of the Quran I'm sharing with you. Allah Ta'ala says, okay, this believing man or woman is coming when he's arrived to your company, and if you accept that person as a student and you repeat the promises that person is going to take, wastaghfirullah, Allah says, that Allah then, that Allah says, oh my Nabi, listen, here, such a beautiful person, this person, he was a thief before, a bandit, and he came and took the hand of the sheikh, the teacher. Then Allah says, that wastaghfirullah, that I will forgive this person, do dua in Medina for this person, oh my Nabi. Subhanallah, a person who rejects this, and he's a disbeliever, he doesn't believe in the Quran. This is the tariqah of the Quran that we've been prescribed there. That he's done strong tawbah. No, we do tawbah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Not that tawbah, he's doing true tawbah, repentance, according to the method that Allah has mentioned in the Quran. So what does Allah say? Allah says that do dua for him, my Nabi, and if somebody does dua for you, prays for you, it's tahajjud time, the Holy Prophet, if you're doing tawbah at tahajjud time, then the Prophet would be dua at tahajjud time, it becomes the fajr time. It's that the here and the Medina time is different, but the Holy Prophet is doing dua for any Muslim in the world who does tawbah. Whoever, whichever man, woman does today, tawbah at the hand of the Shaykh, the friend of Allah, he will get the reward before Dhul Hijjah preparation, and also get this reward of tawbah and nasu will be written in his destiny. Number two, the Holy Prophet's dua also he will earn. So what a great result. So my job is to tell you, is to share the information. I'm not forcing anybody. I don't force anybody. I just share the information. Whoever wants Allah's nearness and repentance, then this is the way to do tawbah. Allah Ta'ala opens the path for them. Woman, man, sister, brothers, the open sheet Allah Ta'ala opens for that person. That before these 10 days, Allah is making us alert. 3 or 4 days before. So we need to prepare for these 10 days. And this is the preparation for the 10 days. And the first thing we need to do is to do tawbah. We are dirty, we lie, we do wrong actions, we waste time, we don't pray salah, we backbite, we have slander, we gossip, we have malice and hatred for others. We do thousands of sins. So the first thing to do to eliminate all the sins is tawbah. Repent. And how do we do the method of tawbah the nasu? May Allah give us the company of a sheikh. And we go to the sheikh and say, Hazrat, we've read this in the Quran, Surah Mumtahina. This is the way to do tawbah, to do bayah to your hand. Please enable me to do tawbah, and I make a promise to Allah that I will change, and I promise. This is called doing tawbah. Okay, so tawbah has taken place. This is preparation for the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Allah is becoming happy with us, mashallah. These are great 10 days to come in, and we have to prepare for them properly. Wipe away, clean our sins. So first thing we need to do to prepare for them is tawbah, repentance. The person, those who already did through tawbah in the past months, years, decades, look down inside yourself. I promise to Allah, how much have I implemented them? Be ashamed, pray 2 rakah nafil salah. Because you did tawbah once before, do 2 rakah nafil salah, do istighfar, ask your shaykh for forgiveness. I'm lazy, I was wrong, and do this action. Person like me who is weak, who wasn't good in implementing his tawbah. Then, next, the next action, which is a very great days are coming. Great days are coming. They are such great days that they are the most beloved days in the year. The days and the nights both are great. The first 10 days of Hajj, first 10 nights. The actions you do in the day are very beloved to Allah. And the actions of the night is said in the hadith that in the day you do amal, they'll be so great those deeds in the first 10 days of the Hajj. Just like you've kept the, say for example you fasted, you'll get the reward of 1 year of fasting. Is that a small reward? Ramadan, if you keep the fast of Ramadan, do you know they accept it? This is accepted going into your pocket, the reward. 1 year of fasting. In the same way, if in the days you do ibadah, you worship Alhamdulillah, all of the thawab will increase in the day, just like this. And in the night, if you do a little bit of worship, because the night has started of the Maghrib, this is the worship of the night now. Remember, say Subhanallah. The night in Islam is in your sleepy, you stay awake. No, night is after Maghrib, you start doing good deeds, the amount of tawfiq Allah has given to you, pray nafal. The night ibadah has taken place. You've worshipped Allah in the night. And the thawab is, it states in the hadith, that in the night, in these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, if you do a little bit of worship, Alhamdulillah, we do dhikr in the night anyhow. Every day. Mashallah, 12 o'clock, we do dhikr in the night anyway. So that's tahajjud time, alhamdulillah. Nowadays, that's the case, isn't it, my brothers? Yeah. So short nights, you are mashallah faqirs. So after that, you get the reward. This is a great reward in the day if you do ibadah, and the reward for worshipping in the night, in the 10 nights. If you do any type of ibadah, small scale, large scale, Laylatul Qadr equivalent to Laylatul Qadr, equivalent the reward. Just like the dua was accepted in Laylatul Qadr, here it's also accepted in the first 10 nights of Dhul-Hijjah. The mercies on Laylatul Qadr and Ramadan, you will get the same mercies. These are the words of the hadith. The rewards you attain in Laylatul Qadr, one night of power. In these 10 nights, you will get that reward. 10 nights. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you have to do tawbah. Step one, you prepare, repent first. After that, what do you do? Is that your deeds, your actions, the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, we need to make a schedule, fix your actions, that I'm going to change myself a little bit, keep the time in such a way, then the night I'm going to pray nafil, voluntary, extra prayer, especially I'll tell you what's the ibadah that we need to do in the night, which is a beloved ibadah. And after that, no special ibadah has been told to us. No specific, just the special time is being told to us, special time. No special ibadah mullana, the special upon special. It's special because these beloved days and nights that Allah Ta'ala is telling us the worship to do so we can become His beloved servants. So, make a program, a schedule, nice way. Dhikr we do anyhow, regularly. So when you do tawbah in the hand of the shaykh and then you start doing dhikr, you will get the courage and determination, you'll have that desire, you'll say 10 minutes dhikr, 15 minutes dhikr, 30 minutes dhikr. Alhamdulillah. Yes, and someone sits in the whole dhikr gathering. So, moving on. So in this, what we need to do is we need to adjust ourselves a bit. And ibadat first are the faraid, the compulsory deeds. Compulsory deeds. So where we fail is do you pray salah? Yes, I pray. If we don't pray, first we need to think that in these 10 days, I need to make strong intention that salah, the question doesn't arise that I leave the fard, the prayer. Because we've done tawbah. We repented. So number one, that's the first thing. Number two, salah, we need to pray just the way Allah wants us to pray. Where in the masjid we must pray? In the masjid. In the mosque. Where should we pray salah? In the masjid, we need to go and pray salah in the masjid. Even if it's the final rakat that we get there. Even if jamaat is about to finish, just arrive there. If jamaat is finished, even then go to the masjid. Don't sit at home, oh, I've missed jamaat. Oh no, I'm gonna go to the masjid anyhow. I've missed it, but I'm gonna go there and pray. This just a few days, you make this niyyah. It's a great action. So salah, where do we need to pray? In the masjid. And if you pray, you're working, taxi driving, all around you are masjids, you take a break and go to the masjid, pray salah in congregation, jamaat. There's no excuse to leave salah in the masjid. There's no excuse. The punishment for this is that Allah says, I put the house on fire. The Holy Prophet said that those people who do not come to the masjid to pray salah, I want to put those houses on fire. Give nasiha to your children. Why do you set your house on fire? Because if you leave the salah in the masjid, the fire has started, the house is destroyed. If the Holy Prophet ﷺ said the words from his blessed tongue, that's a fact. In those houses, the women and the men don't pray salah in those homes. If the women pray, if they don't pray, if the men don't pray, they pray at home, they don't go to the masjid. And the young children, if salah is fard on them, they do not come to the masjid to pray salah. Oh, they have to go to school in the morning. He has to go to work in the morning. This is not our deen, our religion. Priority number one of our life is just one for the believer. Whatever Allah orders, we must practice that. That's it. This is our deen, our way of life from start to end. Our deen is what? Islam. Allah Ta'ala instructs us, whatever He orders us, we must implement that. End of story. That's our deen. We'll give our neck, we'll give our everything. Do this action, do this action. You have to wake up in the morning, Allah will wake up in the morning. You have to do this, stay hungry, I'll stay hungry, Allah. Don't drink water, Allah won't drink water. Don't go to your wife, I won't go to my wife, Allah says. Our action is this. Allah gives instruction, it's not coming from the world. Where's the instruction? Coming from the heavens. Allah's given the instruction. Yes, and it's not in our control. It's not our choice. We're the puppets. We're pulled by the string from the heavens. Yeah, you know, you go to the theater and you see that the behind the stage and he's pulling the rope. And we used to see that the game when, I don't know if you've seen that, like the theater and you have the puppet and there's the person, he's pulling the strings, you know, made the dolls and they have the rope, the string, and he's pulling that. And you see, oh, he's gone there, oh, he's done this and that, but we don't know who's in control. In our young age, we saw this. And we all sit there near the stage. Oh, look, he's doing this. And who's doing the action behind the scenes? It's the man who's controlling that doll or the elder. So Allah Ta'ala says, I have all the ropes and the strings. And this is where the game's being played out on planet Earth. So you follow my instruction, Allah says. So my brothers, Salah, number one. In these 10 days, inshallah, then if you do in these first 10 days, the rest of the year you'll have the habit, because we've done tawbah, repented. So pray salah in congregation, in the masjid. Doesn't matter what happens, sacrifice your time. And our name, our life, our deen is to sacrifice. That's it. We're not third class Muslims. No. Allah Ta'ala will not break any of your orders. All are excuses if we don't pray salah in the masjid. Come straight to the masjid. 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m., whatever the time for salah jama'ah, we must reach there. Day or night. No excuse. Not at all. Except the valid excuses that the Sharia has prescribed. The Sharia has prescribed, they are fine. But if there's no excuse, then you can't make the excuses absorb. I don't feel like it, I'm tired, what can I do, how can I go there, how will I work? No excuse. No, I'm going to salah time, that's it, we're going to the masjid. End of story. Yes, whether my job goes or let it go, I'm going to the masjid. Okay? So these 10 days, make the solid intention to do the faraid. So this faraid, is it just one? Yes, there are four faraid that is going to be fasting, hajj, zakat, salah. But there's no, is there any fast? Zakat you will probably have given it once in the week. You have to give them what? Hajj. Who's going to hajj? Hajj is once in your life. You have to go, probably you've done hajj, most of you. So the real action is salah, which is repeatedly coming during the day. Every day, that is with us every day, daily. That are you established with Allah? Have you maintained the connection with Allah? Do you have a relationship with Allah through salah? No, but that's why Allah repeatedly tells us to pray salah in the day. Are you connected to Allah? Have you got a relationship with Allah? Or have you stepped back? Every salah reminds the human being, when you come time and time again to the masjid, the angels are happy. Allah, this Muslim, he's established. Every angel says, Allah, this Muslim, he's established his connection with you and maintained it. Maintained it. Is this correct, Mawlana Sahib, what I'm saying? Yes, because the angel is going to give a report to Allah that this person was sat in the masjid. Allah said, was he sat there? The angel said, he was sat there. Okay, his relationship with me isn't being maintained. Give your life everything, doesn't matter what happens. Never does by leaving salah, does the dunya increase or decrease. Allah says, I'm the one who gives you wealth and earnings, reducing, increasing, giving more, how much I'm going to give to you. Allah says, I've written in your destiny, Hindu, disbeliever, Muslim, Sikh, Christian, Jew. Now Allah says, I'm going to give the wealth and earnings to everyone. Whatever. Everyone, Allah says, I'm going to give you money and resources and food and drink. Allah says, I've said, I'm Rabbul Alameen. I'm the Lord of all the people. Yes, that you think by leaving salah, going to the masjid, Allah says, the difference being is that the person who prays salah, who follows Allah's orders, then the barakah, the blessings comes into his wealth and earnings. That's the difference. Same. It doesn't increase. It's the same. Same amount. That £100 he was going to get, he will get £100 only. But if he follows Allah's orders, he'll get blessings. If he doesn't follow Allah's orders, then his £100 will become like £1. But the person who obeys Allah's orders, instructions, then his £100 will look like £1,000 due to the blessings. £1,000. Isn't it, Mawlana Sahib? What's the salary? My salary is just this much. 5,000 rupees Pakistani. That's it. Yeah? How many children? Children, mashallah, every year, I've got 8 children now. Every year, mashallah, so we have no other action. We pray salah and we're free, alhamdulillah, after that. Mashallah. It's a ni'mah Allah Ta'ala has given. I've got 8 children. 8 children, you know? Mashallah, big family, but my children, I'm bringing them up. How much? 5,000? Oh, I've just come back from Umrah. Is it? And I've got Hajj program, inshallah, to come soon. Mawlana Sahib, Hajj, Umrah. What's this? How are you affording this? People ask. So where have the money come from? But your salary is just this much. He said, I'll just go with this money. I'll just save up. And my visa, the Mawlana Sahib, they didn't say to me, come by free. I also, like you, I have to get the visa, apply for it. I have to buy my airline ticket. They said, how do you do that, Mawlana Sahib? He said, you don't realize that? How did you afford all of this? We earn so much and I can't fulfill all my needs. Can't make ends meet. You're going to Hajj, you're going on Umrah, Mawlana Sahib. And mashallah, Mawlana Sahib, he goes 3-4 times a year. Yeah. And his salary is just a low amount. Why? For this reason, just one thing. As I said, that point I said to you is the true story. They said, how is this? How can you do all of this and afford all of this? He says, no, I don't just do it. I don't just make ends meet. He's your Rabb, he's my Rabb. He's your Lord, he's my Lord. So he said, how do you make ends meet? He said, how is no such thing as how do I make ends meet? He says, Allah Ta'ala, whoever he wants to give, he fulfills all the needs for me. Allah puts the blessings into my... He said, wow, amazing. He was thinking that person. He said, okay, that I'm earning so much salary, I can't spend on all the things I need. You've got less salary. Then he was leaving. He put his hand in his pocket. When he put his hand in his pocket, he... 500 rupees or 100 rupees or 1,000 rupees Pakistani. He said, Mawlana, here, this is a gift from me to you. And he said, okay, mashallah. He saw the gift and he put it into his pocket. He said, come here quickly, listen to me. He said, I've got a question now. You were saying one thing repeatedly, remember? He said, how? How? How are you doing it? How? How are you making this? He said, like this. You understand? This is how I did it. You realize how the money comes? This is how the money comes. That Allah Ta'ala, He put it into your heart, and you yourself, from your heart, you gave this money to me. So Allah Ta'ala, this is how He allows a person's actions to take place. Just like that. Not how I do that. He's Rabbi Kareem. He's Lord of the worlds. Barakah is on its own. It's a different thing. You have the same amount, but from that same amount, you can make all the ends meet and the blessings of it. So who gets this? That person who prays Salah. So Salah, that your earnings, your wealth, through due to Salah, don't compromise and leave Salah for the sake of making money. No, you must maintain your Salah. Must mean. And don't make the masjid in your house. Don't make masjid in the factory, new warehouse. No, you stop them as well, so that I can keep working in my big warehouse, make a masjid there. All of the sins will be on the head of that person who prays Salah in the workplace. And no, I don't want to go to the masjid, I'll pray Salah. You should encourage that person that, go, my job will not stop, my work will not stop, my business. What do? In the house, we make a hujra room. I can pray Salah here. Oh, give azan here. Hey, hafiz, I need the Salah here. This haram, extreme azab, a punishment on that person's head. And the punishment will start on that person. You are destroying your salah, and you're destroying other people's salah. And you're trying to make them feel that this is a masjid, that for your benefit, to feel satisfied that, oh, I've got a business, I've got a warehouse, I've got a big factory, I'll make a masjid here. No, curse on such a business when a person does such actions, that you are stopping people from practicing the deen of Allah and going to the masjid. Do you understand what I'm saying? In these 10 days, the faraid, we must practice them. We have to anyway. But in these 10 days, what's the second preparation? That all these things we need to implement properly. Properly. We need to make this niyyah today. In the 3-4 days, that time will start. So we can start the action now, that from tomorrow morning, we'll start Fajr Salah in the masjid. We'll arrive to Jamaat. Doesn't matter what happens. Okay? Now, what's left? The special ibadah that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, He's given us the ability. My brothers, there's a ruh, the soul, in these 10 days and nights. It's a unique soul of the whole season of Hajj. Every action Allah has given to us, there has a soul, it has a ruh. There's an objective behind it, behind any action we do in Islam. Allah hasn't just given us, go do Hajj, do Tawaf, go Arafat, go to Mina, Muzdalifah, and go and throw the stones on the shaitan and do Rami. There's an objective, a purpose behind this. That what's happening through these pillars of Hajj? Why does a Hajji go there? What does he do? What does he gain? What is it that we're trying to achieve? What's the real mission behind this season of Hajj? What's the mission? In this, there's a very big message that Allah has given to us during these days of Hajj, during the season of Hajj, a very big message. And the message is just this, that my obedience, obey me and follow my deen. That's the message. That's the message. And just as Qiyamah comes closer, you will start to get weak in the deen, you will practice religion lightly, and you will take it for granted. So the cure, Allah Ta'ala wants to give us the cure for this in all ways and manners. So within even Hajj, there's this same message. The same message. That you, believer, you must strengthen your complete deen now. And this is the message of Hajj that Allah has given to us. You, O Muslim, must strengthen your deen. Maybe you haven't got agreement with me on this point, but you'll have to agree. You'll have to agree. Definitely, if you sat in Arafah, in Mina, Muzdalifah, Rami, throwing stone at shaitan, whatever pillars of rukun of Hajj you are implementing. But collectively, if you combine all the actions, what's the message that emanates from Hajj? What is Allah Ta'ala trying to tell us? What is the action that Allah Ta'ala is sifting through? The Hajjis who have gone and those who haven't gone. Those who are sat far away, those who have gone, for me, for everyone, the same message in the form of Hajj in these 10 days. Allah has given us a message. In the form of the sacrifice even, Allah has given us that same message. Nowhere does that action stop during those Hajj. Not that you leave Arafah and the masjid will stop. Not that you go to Muzdalifah, the action will stop. Not that you go to Mina and the action will stop. If you go to drink Zamzam and you stop Tawaf and the masjid will stop, no. And if you go to Safa Marwa, the message won't stop. The message continues, the same message that is coming to us. And the message of Hajj is that strengthen your deen, O believer. Strengthen your deen and follow Allah's orders. Stick yourself to Allah's orders. فِسِّلْمِ كَافَّةً. Completely come onto the path of deen, otherwise you will be destroyed and you will lose out. You will lose out in the hereafter. Big time. How? وَإِذَا فَتْتُمْ مِنْ عَرَفَاتِ وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ. Allah says, وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ. What is this action that is saying? That at that time when you come to Arafat, what you do? Remember Allah in abundance. Remember Allah in abundance. When you're free from Arafat, where will you go to after that? You will come to the Haram, Muzdalifah. What you do in Muzdalifah? Allah says, remember me. Do the dhikr of Allah. وَإِذَا قَدَيْتُمْ. Allah says, all of the places you will go during the Hajj time, Rami, you will go to Muzdalifah, you will go to Mina, you will shave your hair, and every phase, every step, wherever you go, whatever you do, wadhkurullaha, wadhkurullaha. Allah's dhikr, keep on doing it. Keep on doing it. Is this the case or not in the Quran? This is it, the message, isn't it, Haji Sahib? No one place is there where Allah says, dhikr, 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 dhikr. My remembrance, my remembrance, my remembrance, my remembrance. Yes, wherever you go during the Hajj days and every manasik, every part of Hajj, you will do this. Dhikrullah. You'll drink zamzam, dhikr of Allah. Tawaf around the Kaaba, dhikr of Allah. Rami, dhikr of Allah. Hajjul Aswad, dhikr of Allah. You can do any Safa Marwa, dhikr of Allah. Yes, you will throw the stones at Rami, you will do dhikrullah. What dhikr? Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. And not just this, but in these 10 days from the 9th of Dhulhijjah to the 13th is wajib to do that takbir. Now do you understand what is Hajj? Do you understand what is Hajj? And not just this, the Hajji who's gone to Hajj. No. Allah says, wherever you are in the world, O Muslim, wherever you are in the world, wherever you live, these 10 days come. In these 10 days, every Muslim, what he needs to do or she needs to do, man or woman, sister or brother, is wajib that he must sit and do the takbir. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, wallahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa la ilaha ilhamd. Is this the case or not? Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu anhu, amongst the Sahaba, look in the Sahaba, look at the style of the companions. And he, mashallah, just like say, I go in the shopping center, the marketplace, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, he was saying out. And he didn't say lightly, mashallah, he started saying this loudly. Alhamdulillah. And the whole marketplace, mashallah, was doing the same. The whole place, the bazaar. So with the dhikr of Allah, they went to the bazaar, to the marketplace. Why? Because Allah's order, he said. For which reason? That Allahu Akbar, with this dhikr of Allah, what is the message that's coming out? Remember I said to you, the message of the first 10 days of the Allah is that strengthen your deen. This is what I said to you, isn't it? That's the message of Hajj. So on this point as well, you'll get this learning. On doing dhikrullah. How will it strengthen our deen? So he, the whole of the Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions, are doing dhikr loudly, all shouting. And what's the reason for this? What's the message? That wherever you are a Muslim, that you must elevate and say the name of Allah loudly. Loudly, the takbir. Even Eid Salah, say it loudly. Eid day pass until the 13th of Dhul-Hijjah, keep repeating, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Why? Because you must strengthen your deen. Your dhikr of Allah will strengthen your deen. What is this in this dhikr that will strengthen our deen? Listen carefully. This takbir, that is the dhikr of Allah. There's a special quality Allah's put inside it. Allah says, due to my dhikr, with my dhikr, my greatness, my glory, my status will start to embed itself into your heart. The fact that I am the greatest will embed itself into your heart. Allah says, my greatness, my majesty, my superiority, my power, my glory, I want that to come into your heart, Allah says. So I gave you these 10 days in the year so you can practice this. As much as you can do through the dhikr of Allah, embed the greatness of Allah into your heart. That's the objective. Why? Why? Because as long as the human being in his heart, Allah says, my greatness, my majesty, if you don't have that in your heart, then you will not accept my orders, Allah says. If you don't have this in your heart. When the human being becomes disobedient, leaves salah, doesn't obey Allah, there's a big crime he's committed, is that shaitan, he makes him, gives him excuses, and the greatness and the glory and the power of Allah has come out of the heart of that person. Anger comes into his heart, and he's always anxious and frustrated, and he does all actions to disobey Allah, because the greatness of Allah. If a person has greatness of Allah in his heart, then he's shaking that person. And when he's doing a wrong deed, when he's sinning, he's shaking physically. Fear of Allah, fear of Allah. When you have the fear of the dunya, even that makes you stop doing the crimes in the world. Or not tell me. When you have fear of the dunya, what is the thief scared of in the world? From stealing? No. The thief stops stealing, he doesn't want to see the policeman. Yes. If the policeman's not there, and it's clear, the route is clear, he will steal. He will steal. He'll go to the store, Tesco, he knows there's no cameras, he'll steal. He'll steal. And why is the thief stopping? Because he's afraid of the cameras, the security cameras, or the guard, or the policeman. So if you don't want to cross the red light, the traffic light, you're scared, you're afraid, I don't want the camera to take a picture of me, then the letter will come, I'll get a fine, I'll get a penalty. So it's stopping you, the red light, it's the camera. It's not that you want to, but it's the law, it's a principle that's been made in the whole country to run the country nicely. This is the punishment, this is the penalty, this is the fine. Yes, for this reason, so that there's control and stability. The people who are driving, they're not scared. If that fear was to come out of them, then there'd be total chaos in society. Do you understand what I'm saying? If we didn't have the systems, there'd be chaos in society. There's no fear, no worry about the police, no anxiety. Do what you want. But they've made laws, constitutions, regulations. This is the punishment for this. This is the fine for this. This is the penalty for this. So that fear, that khawf comes into the driver, the member of society, so he doesn't do that mistake or that wrong action. So Allah Ta'ala for the human being has done a bigger thing for us. This is dunya laws I'm talking about. Allah says, my deen, for you to follow my deen, Islam, the human being will follow the deen. The disobedient person will be that person. From his heart, the fear of Allah will have come out. He will lie, he will do haram, he will eat haram, he'll take interest, he'll consume interest. He has no fear of Allah. He has no fear of Allah. Therefore, I don't pray salah. This is the punishment that Allah will be unhappy with me. He'll be enraged. Allah Ta'ala will give me such a big punishment if I don't pray, and the hereafter I will get this punishment, in the grave I will get these punishments, then because the fear of that person, Allah is coming out of heart, if I do zina, this will be the punishment, and then he can see, he can feel that he's getting that punishment, and that he has no emotion though, the sinful person, and openly he goes towards the sin. In front of people he won't do zina, but he'll do zina. Because he has the fear of people, he doesn't have the fear of Allah. So to initiate and instill this fear of Allah into our hearts, Allah says, what should you do? That my greatness should come into you. So you're practicing in these 10 days with dhikrullah, the remembrance of Allah, to bring the fear of Allah into our hearts. The recognition of Allah. And that's what we do in the khankas. That's what the friend of Allah enables us to do. The most sinful and the dirtiest of people, when he comes, what does the shaykh enable him to do? He doesn't say to him, pray salah. He can't pray salah. He doesn't say that to him. He's not able to. He says, I try, Shaykh, I try, but I can't pray. He's totally, you're right. He's got no fear in the heart. I try Allah, I try, Shaykh, to keep the bid, but I can't. I want to follow the sunnah. My heart feels like following the sunnah. So I don't feel like. Then the Shaykh, he gives him the cure, prescription, so that the fear of Allah can come into the heart of the student. Because so that the greatness of Allah can come. And so the awareness of Allah, that instill that. And soon as the greatness of Allah, the recognition of Allah, the respect to Allah comes into the heart of the student, the fear of the dunya comes out. And this is what was in the life of the Sahaba, the noble companions. Yes, the Holy Prophet, he didn't say to him, what are you doing here? Oh no, these 313 Sahaba, they only have sticks, and 5 Sahaba holding the stick, and they're more than 1,000 disbelievers. They've got preparation, they have horses, they have weapons, they have shields. Shaitan came to the Sahaba. And he said, are you going to die? You're going to give your lives? That in a minute they're going to beat you, Shaitan said. How are you going to fight them? Which tools? Which weapons? The Quran says, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. And their iman with this kalima, Allah didn't weaken them, rather Allah strengthened their deen with this dhikr of Allah. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Because they had the fear of Allah. They realized who was Allah. Akbar was Allah. Greater was Allah. We say Allahu Akbar, but we lie. We say Allahu Akbar. If it's so much greatness of Allah, that the whole of the world should shake with me saying Allahu Akbar once. And the disbelievers through to the core they should shake. Is this our situation? No. And it's not the fault of the people who don't have iman. It's not their fault. We're in this situation. That today the Muslims, it's not their fault. They are right what they're saying. They should do what they're doing. They must do with us, treat us the way they are. Definitely they should do with us, because we are criminals. And like ants, they stamp on us. We are not even capable. That in their hearts, if our hearts we don't have the fear of Allah, then that's how Allah Ta'ala makes them crush us. That's how Allah uses them. Yes, it's not this. The punishment for this is that with the stones He will hit you, or with boulders. No, the punishment becomes like this, what we see around us today. That Allah Ta'ala uses those who are against the deen to make us wretched and cursed. So this Hajj, these, in once in the year becomes the month of Dhul Hajj, because Allah says through the dhikr of Allah, Allah's greatness, glory, majesty, power is revived, and through dhikr of Allah all day and night in the first 10 days and nights, so we realize that if to practice the deen, what are we lacking inside us? The greatness and the fear of Allah, we don't have that. And to create that, how? Just like we have to do the action which is dhikr of Allah, which will complete our Hajj. Hazrat Razin radiallahu anhu said, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Oh Ibn Razin, shall I not give you such an action that will strengthen your deen? So you will become strong in your salah, and you will leave the sin strongly, and you will have fear of Allah proper, and you will not be worried or scared of anything in the dunya to follow the Hajj, or that will hang with the noose. You will have no fear in practicing the deen, and you will live a beautiful life, and you will think that you're a great person as a Muslim." SubhanAllah. Even shahada, even if a person's near to martyrdom, SubhanAllah. The Sahabi said that, "I feel like, you know, once, two times, three times, repeatedly send me, I want to be shaheed, Allah, I want to come back to you as shaheed." This was the taste, and it must be a taste that the shaheed has. But we're scared of that, because Akbar is not in our hearts. The person who has Allah Akbar in his heart, then he loves the deen that Allah has given to him. He loves the deen, which is the greatness. But we're scared, "Oh Allah, oh, for praise Allah, oh, what will happen to me?" What is this deen, my brothers? When we're scared of the dunya, the greatness of Allah comes into our heart, that's when we'll practice the deen. Yes, and how do we know the greatness of Allah is in our heart and the fear of Allah? Then never will I do an action against Allah's instruction. And I will never be afraid or scared of the dunya, or never will I consume haram or interest or riba. I won't talk rubbish, I won't run around begging in the dunya for money and being greedy and running after money and wealth like a dog with a tongue hanging out. Money, money, money. No, nothing else to us in our lives, just money. Today, 99% of the Muslim Ummah is in this situation, and we go to do Hajj like this. What is Hajj? Have we understood the message? What is the message of Hajj? Hazrat, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Razin, shall I not tell you an action which will strengthen your deen?" Yes, I say dhikr, dhikr, dhikr. Not because I do dhikr, no, I keep on encouraging and requesting that we all do dhikr of Allah, because that lesson that the Wali Allah gave to me, he gave me a great lesson that never leave dhikr of Allah. And this is the same lesson that the Prophet ﷺ gave to the Sahaba. And this is the sabak that he gave to Ibn Razin. And this same lesson, as a Razin, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Oh Razin, shall I not tell you a deed that will strengthen your deen? Religion, shall I tell you an action that both worlds, this world and the hereafter, will be full of goodness?" O Prophet of Allah, so what is the action? That until today we don't even know what is the amal. Please tell us. Rasulullah said that, "My sahabi, I'll tell you that amal, the action. What is the amal?" He said that, "Go and sit in the company and the gatherings of the awliyaullah, the dhikr of Allah gatherings." Grab hold of the wali Allah, his gathering of dhikr with strength, grab hold of the gathering. And when you're alone in solitude, then according to your ability, keep on doing dhikrullah. Keep on doing dhikrullah. And your deen will never go downhill and you'll never be weak. Why? For which reason? Because due to dhikr, when you do remembrance of Allah, Allah's greatness and majesty and power and glory will come in your heart, and you will realize the meaning of Allahu Akbar. You will learn it that day. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Time is finished, inshallah. So this was today's message. Brothers, you understand the preparation for the 10 days of Hajj? According to my ability, I shared that message with you. I will practice as well. You also practice these 10 days with lots of love and affection. What do we need to do in abundance? Dhikrullah. And never miss any majlis gathering. Never.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, as-salatu was-salamu ala Sayyid al-Mursaleen, Shafi'i al-Muslimin, Taha wa Yaseen, al-Habib al-Mumin. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Mawlana Muhammadin, Nabiyil Ummiyyi wa Azwajihi, Ummatil Mu'mineen. وَزُرِّيَّتِهِ وَأَهْلِ بَيْتِهِ كَمَا صَلَّيْتَ عَلَى آلِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ إِنَّكَ حَمِيدٌ مَجِيدٌ وَصَلِّ تَسْلِيمًا abadan kadiran kadiran kadiru. Allahumma fir lana zunubana wa zulmana wa azlana wa jaddana wa khatwana wa amadana kulla zalika indana. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min zulimin. Ya ayyo ya qayyum bi rahmatika nasta'in. Ya ayyo ya qayyum bi rahmatika nasta'in. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واشهدنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. اللهم استقبلنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته واشرنا في زمرته يا كريم. اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا قاضي الحاجات اكتهاجاتنا يا دافع البلايات ادفع بلاياتنا يا شافي الأمراض اشفع مرادنا يا شافي الأمراض اشفع مرادنا يا شافي الأمراض اشفع مرادنا. يا الله تمام مريضوں کو تو شفا کام لاج دے. يا الله بالخصوص کینسر کے جو مریض ہیں میرے مولا ان کو صحت نصیب فرما. یا اللہ جن حضرات نے دعاؤں کے لیے کہا ہے بیماری کی, اللہ ہم سب کی بیماریوں کو دور فرما. یا اللہ ہمارے گھروں میں جو بیمار ہیں ان کو شفا نصیب فرما. یا اللہ ہمارے گھروں میں جو بیمار ہیں ان کو شفا نصیب فرما. یا اللہ ہمارے حلقے میں جو بیمار ہیں ان کو شفا نصیب فرما. یا اللہ ہمارے حاضرین میں جو بیمار ہیں ان کو شفا نصیب فرما. یا اللہ ہم سب کو شفا نصیب فرما, شفا قلب نصیب فرما. آنے والے ذوالحج کا دن میرے مولا ہمیں اچھی طریقے سے گزارنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما. یا اللہ ہمیں اہدن الصراط المستقیم پہ قائم فرما. یا اللہ ہمارے آخرت بہتر فرما, عذاب قبر سے بچا, عذاب جہنم سے بچا. یا اللہ حاسبنا حساب یسیرا. اللہ ہم حسن خاتمہ, اللہ ہم نسلوں کا حسن خاتمہ, اسلام نسلوں حسن خاتمہ. یا کریم ربنا حبلنا من ازواجنا وذریاتنا قرۃ اعین وجعلنا للمتقین اماما. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربيااني صغيرا. اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا واستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون, سلام على المرسلين, والحمد لله رب العالمين.